So that's also very important. So with this short background, let's look at what are the points in this particular verse. There are a few points. First one is, it said here nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects. So which means, this mother nature is the immediate cause of the body that we get. And if we get body, which means there are associated activities around it. Body means it's just not a static, there's some activities. So two things. One is material nature is the immediate cause of the body and the activities around it. And then, the second line of the translation says, the attendant sufferings, the resulting sufferings and enjoyments of the living entity itself is the cause of the sufferings and enjoyments. It's a very deep point actually. So we will try to see whatever Krishna willing is revealed during the discussion, we will see how these points are connected. And then we will finally conclude saying, if we know that this is the reality, what are we supposed to do? Because everything has to be connected practically. We may discuss philosophy, but at the end of the day, if we don't translate into behavior or action, so it just becomes a discussion or a debate, if nothing else. So we will try to see what are the practical application of this verse in the day to day. So first point is, material nature awards us different bodies. So it's very clear in Bhagavad Gita that although the material nature is considered to be the immediate cause, I said immediate cause because that's not the final cause. The ultimate cause is the Supreme Lord. Sarva Karana Karana. Lord Krishna is the ultimate controller, the supreme cause in everything. Of course we have, within a limited vision, we cannot really see Lord Krishna behind everything. So we have, you know, some immediate causes, it's like a chain. One cause leads to effect and that effect leads to another effect. So it's like a chain of causes. So material nature, as we see, is the immediate cause. But one must be intelligent enough to go beyond and inquire through the help of scriptures that who is the ultimate cause. You see, in Bhagavad Gita, the chapter that we are discussing now, cause of all causes, the chapter is like, there are many, how intelligently he showed us the way, properly inquire, and trace the origin back to the supreme cause. So in this chapter also, or throughout Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna establishes very clearly that he is the supreme cause. So even though it's said here, nature is the cause, we should understand that nature is only the immediate cause. Because nature is called Prakriti. Prakriti is feminine. Unless there is a Purusha or an enjoyer who actually acts, Prakriti cannot react or cannot act. That's the reality. You see that in the day-to-day life also, you know this is how it is. So the way it works is Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he glances material nature and then there is an agitation. So the Purusha looks at Prakriti and he places in the womb of material nature all living entities. That's how we all live here. We will place the womb of Mother Nature, that's what we call Mother Nature. So she's the mother. That's how the bodies were created first. And the way we get the bodies is also very nice. It's very logical. It's not some random sequencing of this alone allocate bodies. No. It is based on our deeds, past deeds and activities. Well, if we're very fortunate that we don't know what all we have done in the past. But what we are doing now, what's happening to us now is the result of our past activities and desires, more importantly. So we get the body according to the desires we have. The whole idea of me coming here is because we had desires to enjoy separately from the Lord. That's why Prabhupada writes in the purport, spiritual world is pure. There is no competition or there is no, everybody knows that Lord is the only enjoyer. But since we have a tendency to enjoy independent of Krishna, so the only way is to create this material manifestation. Get frustrated at the end, realize that we cannot enjoy. Because we are also Prakriti. The 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is very nicely explained. Inferior Prakriti and superior Prakriti. Inferior energy and superior energy. So the material nature is considered the inferior energy because it's inert matter. It cannot act unless a higher energy acts on it. So that's inferior energy. At the same time, the living entities are called superior energy. At the end of the day, both are energies. So both are Prakritis. It is an illicit connection between two Prakritis. Two Prakritis cannot, one Prakriti cannot enjoy other Prakriti. I mean, we see in the material world how illicit connections, you know, are viewed so negatively. It is a mismatch, it cannot work. Same way, one prakriti cannot enjoy another prakriti. Prakriti is meant to be enjoyed. So Krishna is the only Purusha. He is Purushottama. Everywhere we see it, Krishna's name is Purushottama. He is the topmost enjoyer, or the only enjoyer. And we are meant to be enjoyed. But because we cannot enjoy that sense, independent in the spiritual world, because Krishna is only enjoyer, so he creates a toy world for us, and we will manifestation. Okay, you don't enjoy, get frustrated, then you realize your mistakes and come back. Because Krishna, being a loving father, he doesn't enforce anything upon us. Just like our fathers, our parents, they don't enforce us anything. They always lovingly guide us, so that we can come to understand things on our base of experience. So the same way Krishna creates his world, and he sends all of us through the agency of material nature. So the material nature is the immediate cause. But ultimately, as many places in Bhagavad Gita also is said, for example, in 9th chapter, 10th verse, Krishna says, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyamesa Charachara. This material nature is working under my direction, under my supervision, I am the supreme director. Because the agency is the material nature, so Krishna has created such a way that he is aloof from the creation, because he has nothing to do with the material world. So he provides intermediary, supplies everything, and the material nature then takes over. But ultimately, nothing is magical or nothing is going on automatically. Everything is well controlled, very nicely. That's why you see everything happening, not perfectly. Sunrise, sunset, everything follows the particular schedule. So nothing is automatic. As we are made to believe. So Krishna says also that he is the seed giving father, as I explained earlier, that he places the seed in which the living entity is placed as the mother, in the womb of the mother nature, and then the living entity gets his birth, according to the leaves, he gets the bodies. So depending on our desires, he could get born in any of these 8.4 million species of life. It all depends on our desires. So Krishna is arranged so perfectly that for each desire we have a body. That's why we have, depending on the different combinations, permutations and combinations of desires and modes of nature, we have 8.4 million species of life. So we could get body in any of them. The important thing is we have to rotate in this one after the other. That is the true evolution, not the theory of evolution that we have read through a particular institution. The real theory of evolution is we evolve, the soul evolves or transmigrates from one lower species to the other till he gets a human form of life, which is the top question. But if you don't utilize this human form of life, it's like a giant wheel, you again keep rotating. So we have to come out of this giant wheel. So that's possible only in the human form of life. That is the main import of this verse. And Rupa very nicely writes in this purport. No, he uses the words so nicely, so effectively. He says, the body is the effect of the senses. How nice this. Because we have the desires, the only way to carry out the desires or implement those desires is through the senses. We have different working senses, knowledge acquiring senses, different types of senses. Only through these senses can we actually enjoy. Actually not enjoy, falsely enjoy. So, the effect of the senses, according to the desire and the senses, we get the body. Because if you have a particular desire, we can only do that most effectively in a particular body. So, the body, the effect of the senses. The other thing is, Prabhupada writes here, Mother Nature places the living entities into vegetation quarters. So, how nice this word is. Because we are used to, you know, in our daily life, we are used to living in residences or houses, apartments. But we know very well that we are not going to stay here permanently. So the residential quarter means it's a temporary place of dwelling. We must always know, always remember, remind ourselves that wherever we are, it's only a temporary place. It's like a journey in a train, in a compartment. So it's like a compartment. The place we are living in now, or the body is like a compartment. The end of the journey, we have to move on. So the best thing is to not take another train and again continue the journey. We should reach a destination, not go around different places. That's why Prabhupada is trying to emphasize every purport, every translation that you are not the body, you are not the body. And please come out of this ignorance. This place is Mukhalayam Ashashvatam. It's temporary and full of miseries. But the illusory power of the Lord is so powerful, so great, that we think that we are enjoying it. That is the greatest illusion. This also shows that how minute we are. We can simply be consumed with the illusory power, and we always think that we are the enjoyers. And we are trying to, how? What a mismatch. We are under complete control of material energy, and we are trying to exploit the material energy. It is just not going to work. I am not saying that out of the realization, but whatever Prabhupada has been telling us in the Prabhupada, constantly hearing them, we should come to the point of understanding that we cannot exploit material nature. So what is the duty that we will see towards the end of the discussion? So we have seen how the body is awarded. So the next step after awarding the body is the activities. So we will see how the activities are performed, or who performs the activities. Again, material nature, as said in the purport, is the immediate cause of material causes and effects. Effects means all the activities, karmas we perform. It is also under the strict supervision of a material nature, through the modes of nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gune karmani sarvasham ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Only to the false ego, there is a limited thing that he is doing the things. Actually, everything is being carried out with the modes of nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gune karmani sarvasham. Everything is carried automatically by the modes of nature. So we may ask, how is it that I am able to take decisions? Know what I want to do, I can think, I can feel, I can will, but you must know that who is guiding us, who is inspiring us. And this is clearly told by Lord Krishna in 15th chapter, 15th verse. Sarvasya jaham prasanni vishnu mantra smritir jnana apoharapcha. It's the Lord who is seated in the heart of the super soul, who is guiding us, who is giving us the remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness also. And just imagine if we were not forgetful of our activities in the past, how miserable we would be. As it is, we are miserable. How much more miserable we would be. I mean, we are so fortunate that, at least for me, even during the week, the end of the week, when I reflect on the activities of the week, I am completely bewildered. So just imagine if you were to remember the whole life, whenever this life, just by contemplating, if you would remember all the activities that you have performed, good and bad, in this particular life. And just imagine if you were to remember the past lives also, how miserable you would be. So Krishna is so merciful that he takes out all those and just he lets us look forward. And depending on the desires we harbor, he gives us the remembrance and knowledge. Okay, now we have proper right that Maya is pulling us by the ear and making us sit and telling us do this, do that. That is the position. At every step of our, every second of our existence, we are in control. No, it's something that is very, very baffling, no? To even think of. But how are we controlled? When we call ourselves free, no? We are completely free. Even in the material world, to come from, for example, come from a house in a temple, we are not free. We can't just do whatever we feel like, no? Without looking at the traffic, if we just cross the road, imagine what's going to happen. Or if I just think that today I am going to drive the right side of the road, forget about the rules. It's not going to work. You can't even step out of the house if you want to drive on the right side of the road. So every step of our existence we are controlled. We are following authority. Unless we follow authority, then only we get real freedom. Otherwise we will be behind the walls. So real freedom means submitting to authority. And what is the real authority? It is the supreme law. The religion comes from him. So if we follow God's supreme law, then that is a true freedom for us. Not the false freedom that we are made to believe that we can live our own existence independent of the Lord. No. The actual independence is only following the instructions of the Lord. So that is the true freedom. Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely in different purports in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita that the illusory energy acts through two of its qualities. The illusory power as energy of the Lord has got two shaktis or energies. One is called the Prakshepatmika Shakti. Prakshepatmika Shakti means it's a shakti to pull you down. If the living entity feels that I have to get out of this, then immediately the illusory power will offer different opportunities. No. You cannot do this. There are so many opportunities to enjoy your senses. Consider this, consider that. Immediately it gives all the options. It is just dragging us down. So this is called Prakshepatmika or pulling. pouring out energy of the using power. If the other one is called Avarna Atmika, Avarna Atmika means covering. It completely covers our knowledge and keeps us in ignorance. That's why you say ignorance is this. Completely, we are very happy to be all the time in ignorance. So this Avarna Atmika Shakti always covers us. That's why you see that, for example, a hog, it eats soon, and we can understand how abominable that is. But the hog doesn't mind. It thinks that it's enjoying, because its knowledge is completely covered. It's made to believe that this is the right enjoyment. We all know the pastime of Indra. When he was put in the body of a hog, he thought that is the all in all, nothing above that. So this is how the using power of the Lord acts, completely controlling us. And Bhagavad Gita, this illusory energy, the power of the illusory energy to cover our knowledge, and that is called Maya Bhakta Jnana, which means for the power of Maya, our Jnana is covered completely. And when that happens, we can never take our Supreme Lord. That's why Maya Bhakta Jnana is one of the categories that is mentioned in the second chapter of miscreants or Dushkriti. Those who are Dushkritina or miscreants, one of them is Maya Bhakta Jnana. They can never think of the Supreme Lord. They are diehard atheists or materialists who know who thinks that, material life is all in all, there is nothing beyond it. They will not submit to any authority. But this is all because of the Lord's illusory power. Even that is due to the blessing of the Lord that he is able to think like that. Srila Prabhupada also tells us very nicely that ignorance of the Lord is no excuse for getting punished. Now, I may say that I am not aware of this law, that's no excuse. I may violate traffic laws, just thinking that I don't know, I'm new to the country. But at the end of the day, you've got to pay for it. Maybe you're not put behind bars, but you have to pay a fine. Something is there always. There's no excuse that, I didn't know the law. Similarly, the laws of material nature are so stringent that it acts upon everyone, irrespective of who knows or doesn't know. So it's no excuse that you're not aware of the scriptures or all these things. No. You've got to pay for it. It's your duty in the human form of life to come to this point of inquiry. Try to question what am I doing here. But the illusory power is so powerful that it always keeps us covered. Another example that Prabhupada often gives is the child. The child looks such a beautiful candle, colorful candle, and he wants to put his finger into the fire. But his father tells him that, no son, it will burn your fingers. He can only tell him, but the son still insists that, no, I want to put my finger. Finally, the father says, okay, go ahead. And we know what happens. The poor clearly kills one. Same way, Krishna is telling us all the time that this is your real home, spiritual world. Material world is only a temporary place full of miseries. Don't go there. But we are diehard atheists or something, rebels. They're so rebellious that we want to go and enjoy. If you can enjoy, why can't I enjoy? You're not the only person to enjoy. He said, okay, so he creates your own thing and then he puts us there. This is the example. So, material nature is the immediate cause of body and activities. What happens is the result of performing those activities. The second line of the translation tells us that the resultant enjoyment and suffering. Who is the cause of this? The living entity. It is not the super soul or Krishna, nor the material nature that is responsible for our enjoyment and suffering. It should be very, very clear to us this point. Because we always, because when we read this, we say that, okay, nothing in our hands, nothing is in our control. But we should know that we have a mind of independence. And using that independence, we can either be with Krishna or be away from Krishna. So we have exercised that, or mis-exercised that independence by choosing to side with the material energy. And as a result, since we have paid attention, naturally it follows that we have to be responsible and we have to face the sufferings. Though it says here, enjoyment and suffering, Prabhupada says that actually there is no enjoyment, it's all suffering. But because of this Avarana Atmika Shakti of the illusory power, we are made to believe that no, we enjoy. So there is enjoyment and suffering side by side. The word, particular word used in this, word is Bhoktratve. Bhoktratve means enjoy. Actually, the enjoyer is only the Supreme Lord. Bhokta Ram Bhokta Tapasam. He is the only Bhokta. We are all Bhoktas. We are supposed to be enjoyed. So, it's a false notion that we can enjoy. As I said earlier, living entity is so minute, it's like a spark of a fire. As long as the spark of the fire remains with the fire, it has the same quality of fire. But being a spark, it has a tendency to get extinguished or fall out of the fire. But the moment it falls out of the fire, its potency is gone completely. Because a spark can never burn anyone. Maybe a temporary cause a small effect, but apart from that, it's immediately extinguished. So we are also like that. We are so minute. We have the same quality as the Supreme Lord in Satchidananda Vigraha. But we are so minute that we are easily consumed with extra energy. That is what is happening to us. So we must come to this understanding, first of all, that we are so minute. We must never be in the false notion that we are equal to the Lord in all respects. We are only in quality, we have the same qualities as the Lord. But quantity wise, we are extremely, extremely minute. No comparison. And because of this complete control by the external energy, we have absolutely no exercise of any power. For example, if Gopal writes in his purport, if a living entity is put in the body of a dog, he has to act like a dog. He cannot act like a human being or a human nature. There's no way, his boundary is completely defined. So he can only act within that framework. Same way for other bodies. Any body is given, he can act only within that body. So we know that we are absolutely no over anything. And so in a way we are struggling. We are all very struggling very hard. And that's why in Bhagavad Gita 15:7, a very important verse, says, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sahatana Manah Shashthan Indriyani Prakriti Sthani Karshati. The last two lines, words are very important. Prakriti Sthani Karshati. The word Karshati means struggling. It is not just a word that is used in the verse for a meter of the lyric. It is very carefully, each word, or each lyric, each word in Bhagavad Gita Bhagavatam is very, very carefully used for a purpose. So Prabhupada explains, what is the meaning of Karshati? Karshati means struggling very hard. Why are we struggling? Because we don't have any control over anything. Everything is imposed upon us. We are simply being enforced to do this or that. We have absolutely no control. Sorry, I'm not saying this. The Prabhupada is written this book. So Prabhupada writes that as soon as we get the body, it's a very powerful statement. As soon as we get the body, the suffering and happiness are all designed. Everything is already designed. So there's no way we can try to improve our situation or by trying to reduce the distress or increase the happiness. It is already predestined. Nothing can be done. The only thing we can do is to exercise our mind of independence, whether to continue in this existence or go out of this. That's the only thing in our hands. Right? So there is a nice verse in Bhagavad, a very powerful verse. 1:5:18. Asyeva heto prayate sato yo nala vyadeya kramadam pariyada tala vyadeya tala vyate dukhavadanyata sukham kale sarva kratavira ramasa. The last two lines are very nice. Says tala vyate dukhavadanyata sukham. And every living entity tries to increase its happiness. But happiness comes of its own accord. Just like miseries also come of its own accord. Nobody plans for miseries. Nobody says, okay, today I have to get some suffering. Today I have to be distressed. No, but it comes of its own accord. Which means what? Happiness also comes of its own accord. It's not that we are endeavoring and getting happiness. Maybe, you know, there might be some temporary. Something which may increase it, increase temporarily. But it is temporary. It will definitely die off sometime. But the point we should know is that everything is predestined. So what do we learn from this? That we should not over-endeavor, unless and to increase the material necessities. Whatever is our quota is given to us. We must make use of that, not to increase our necessities or desires, but to use them in service or in devotional service. That's why it's called devotional service. So there's devotion as well as service. Service is the medium for us to contribute whatever we get out of our material duties in the service of the Lord. That is the only endeavor. That is the perfection of our existence. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj also, in the 7th canto, 7th chapter, he instructs his demoniac classmates There are two particular verses, 7:40 and 41. 41:42. So it says, in material endeavors, the result one obtains is inevitably the opposite of what one desires. This is material endeavors, whatever results we obtain is just the opposite of what we desire. Which means any activity, any material activity that is begun, the distress also starts along with that. It is side by side. So you may think that you're planning something good, but the bad side of it also comes along with it. It's like a package, two sides of the coin. You cannot escape from this. This is Bhagavatam and this is the truth. So what does it mean? Does it mean that we don't do anything? That's the best opportunity, best thing to do. Just sit quiet. So we don't get anything good. We do not do any good, so that should be no bad also coming. So is that the right thing to do? So then we come to the concluding part of this discussion, that what are we supposed to do? What should be our aim of life? In Bhagavad Gita 1861, Krishna tells Arjuna, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Pritveshe Arjuna Tishtati Ramayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudani Maya. Krishna tells Arjuna that I am sitting in everyone's heart and I am directing the movements of all living entities. The living entities are just seated in the machine. Just seated in the machine. So it's just like, for example, we have two drivers in the car, two car drivers. One is sitting in a sports car, the other sitting in a normal car. But the drivers are the same, it says everything is same. But yet the directions or the speed or the movement of each one is different. So what does it mean? It means that a given body is given to you according to your desires. And you can do the activities only according to the body that is given to you. You cannot perform activities that are meant for another body. So in another sense, just repeating the point that we are under the complete grip of the material nature that is supervised by the Lord Himself, who is sitting in the heart, who is not outside anywhere. He is sitting in our heart and is directing our movements as a super soul. Prabhupada writes that towards the end of the book, that the super soul is so merciful that he accompanies a living entity in any body that he takes. Even if we are in the body of a hog, he is with us. He is just waiting for us to look to him. But of course, in any non-human form of life, it's completely impossible because we are completely covered. So only the human form that he mercifully gives us, we have the opportunity to look towards him. Vedas give an example of a tree where two birds are sitting. So unless the one bird, that is a small bird, is eating the fruits and enjoying and suffering also at the same time, unless he looks towards the other bird who is just witnessing this bird's activities, that represents the super soul, he cannot come out of this tree. So tree is like a body. So a bird goes from one tree to the other, keeps hopping. So that's how we change the bodies. But super soul always accompanies us whichever tree or whichever body we are. Prabhupada also explains in his lectures that the Vedic civilization, the Vedic culture of which every one of us is a part, but unfortunately now it's dwindling. In Vedic culture, there was never an anxiety to improve the material situation. Even if you go to villages in India today, unfortunately in Singapore, you don't see that. But if you go to villages in India today, there are still places where people live a very simple existence based on agriculture. And they finish everything, and 4 months of the year they don't do any work because monsoon period they don't do anything. And all the 4 months of those months, they simply spend time cultivating spiritual life. So they meet under the tree, lion tree, they all sit together, discuss Krishna Katha, Ram Katha. This is the best life one can think of. Unfortunately, we cannot even imagine this kind of life where you're working 24/7. All the time working. So over endeavoring is not going to get us anywhere. Prabhupada says that the rich person or materialist may have built a big skyscraper or a huge building and he still has unlocked desires because desires never end. So even at the point of death, he is constantly thinking, oh, I have still to do this. That's why rich people, when they finally get admitted to the hospital, they keep begging literally the doctors, please increase my lifespan by a few more months, please do something. Because there are so many unfulfilled desires. Prabhupada says that because of the unfulfilled desires, that he's so attached to the paraphernalia that he has created, building, that next life he may become a cat or a dog or something. because he has a desire attached so much to the building. Krishna has arranged a body. He will not get a human form because he has committed so many sinful activities to accumulate this property. It's not possible to live a simple life and create such a huge thing. Definitely, a lot of simple activities are there. Because of which, he will definitely not get a human body. So he gets a body, but at the same time, because he has a desire to be situated in the place that he is created, he will become a dog like that. But just imagine, if you just think of a cool head, we just think of the cool head, what a terrible misery that is. You had everything at your disposal when you were a human being. And now you become a dog, just going around the same building. Nobody's going to call you, call the dog inside and offer a seat. Please sit. This is the building that you created in the previous world. You can continue your journey. No. You will still be a dog. You will behave like a dog. He has to behave like a dog. Which means he will be mistreated by human beings. That is a terrible mistake that we make. So if we just think with a cool head of our rights, that we should come to this understanding that what is the real duty. So we must not over-endeavor in our material job. So which means, where should we place our endeavors? So what is the right endeavor for us? There is a nice verse in Vedas, which my Guru Maharaj often says, Kala kshepo na kartavya shinam ayu kshane kshane. Yamasya karuna nasti kartavyam hari kirtanam. So, we must not waste our time. That's very important. Because we are given a particular time. It is not stretchable time, like Indian time. We can't stretch it. We are given only a particular quota within which we have to live and go on. So, if we spend too much time in material activities, not to say that we should not perform, but over-endeavoring should not be there. Whatever is there, we must perform to the best of our abilities and in fact, perfectly. Guru Maharaj says that we must perform our work perfectly. The idea behind that is, more efficient, more effective you are, more easily you will get out of it. Then, focus the rest of your time in devotional service, cultivating devotional service. So, kalakshepona kartavya, kshiram ayu kshane kshane, our age is reducing every day. Today, now we are speaking, next moment our life is reduced by a moment already. Because it's not that that's also floating. That is fixed, our end time is fixed already. It's predestined. So, every moment we are losing time. So, best, and why? Because Yamaraj has no mercy. When Yamaraj comes to you, he says, please sit in my Mercedes car, wait for a while, relax, then we can go later. No, he will not say anything, he will say, come, your time is up already. It's a nice pastime, let me just remember it. There was a bird, sitting in a tree, suddenly one morning he woke up, and he suddenly looked down, he saw a very terrible creature standing in front of him, great moosh, and some weapons in his hand. So he looked down and said, who's who are you? He said, I have Yamaraj. I'll come to take you. The time is up. So he's completely bewildered and scared. But just then Garuda is flying. And he saw that his later his cousin, brother, is in trouble by Yamaraj. So he wanted to save him. Immediately he took the bird and he said, Yamaraj, you cannot touch because I am in control now. So he took him to the topmost universe of this material world. So he was a star, he went all the way to Prapaloka. Garuda, because Garuda can go anywhere, you know, he would be a god. So he took him to the topmost universe and placed him in another tree. As soon as the bird landed, it dropped dead. It just dropped dead. And Yamaraj was laughing. Yamaraj was laughing. So Garuda asked, why are you laughing? He said, I was just thinking today morning when I came, how is it that this bird who is decided to die in the Brahmaloka universe is still here? So this is the beautiful power, amazing power of the Lord. The Lord arranged such a way that he died according to his destiny. So Garuda came and took him and he died there. So whatever happens, we just cannot change our time of death. It is predestined. So then, what is our real duty? Kartavyam Hari Kirtanam. Glorification of the Lord is our only duty. Glorification can be the form of reading scriptures, hearing, kirtan, chanting, worshipping, or anything, any of the nine activities, devotions, we are all under the category of glorification. It is not just chanting, it's one activity, but everything connected to the Lord is glorification. That is our real duty. That's why the verse that I mentioned, 1:5:18, the first two lines, Tasyeva Hetum Prayatnena Kovido. Kovido means intelligent. One who is intelligent will endeavor only for that purposeful end that will help him to come out of the cycle of transmigration, where one is going from the topmost planet to the lowest planet. You're constantly going from the giant wheel. So the intelligent person will try to come out of this cycle. And how does he come out? Come out of the strength of devotional service. But practically, how does he implement? Prabhupada today says that one should come to the mode of goodness. Minimum. We are all in the mode of ignorance. We have to come to the mode of goodness by being in like association of devotees. So we must always seek out. Seek out good association, and if we have the sincere desire, the Lord Himself will show us the way. That's how we all get. We're not out of our own choice. Yes, choice is there. Maybe some sincerity was there somewhere. Or maybe because of our five stages in the past. Whatever. Unless the Lord wills, we cannot be sitting here. Why is it that only 60-70 people are here? Because the Lord chose who should be here. It is completely under His direction. But He chooses depending on the desire to gain. If we have a sincere desire to hear about Him, know Him, He will arrange definitely. He will arrange some or the other to the other devotees, to spiritual masters, to the Prabhupada. He will arrange so that we can be here and be properly situated in our life. And the other thing is, as I mentioned, we have to perform prescribed duties, no doubt about it. And what is the right way to perform prescribed duties? The practical side is also given by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 3.9. It's a very seminal verse, very important verse. Yajnyatha karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha tadartham karma kaundeya mukta sangha samachara. This is the formula for us to follow. Yajnyatha karmano anyatra. Yajna means Vishnu or Krishna. It's called Yajna Purusha. Our work must be devoted or dedicated to the Lord. Whatever work we do, the results of that must be offered to the Lord. This is the only formula for us to work and do the work. If we do this, the result is we are not touched by any sinful reaction. And we can, Krishna willing, get liberated at the end of our life. Same way. Or even if our activity is not complete, we will make sure that next time it will continue. This is not possible in material world. In spiritual world, any activity that is begun is permanent. It's written permanently in your account. And it will continue from that point onwards in the next time. So whichever way you look at it, there is no loss. Even though we are struggling hard to perform whatever service, still there is no loss. It's preserved eternally and will continue. Prabhupada writes that, of course, we must try our best to complete this life itself. But if circumstances are such that they are not able to, still we should not worry. Whatever we can do to the best of our abilities, we should do sincerely, and the Lord will take care of us. So with this, I will stop here. Any comments or corrections? Please. Association of pure devotee can take you out from the material garden. So even if there is no desire, just by associating with the pure devotee, even if unknowingly, still there is a benefit, and the seed is sown in the heart. It may not fructify immediately, but the seed is there, and it may fructify at a later point, whenever Krishna finds you. This is what
Yeah. 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 Ye